our message series entitled Reclaim, because I'll tell you, this is just the rest of our lives. Becoming who God has called you to be, reaching your full potential in Christ. It's an exciting adventure to be a part of, as we've been learning. Based on the scripture from 1 Timothy, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves complete acceptance. To this world, Christ Jesus came, sinful people, to reclaim. You know, in this series, in this process, it's all about each of us possessing that purpose that we were created uniquely and intentionally for. We learned last week, it's not about us fitting a mold. That's religion. I'm tired of religion. We're not here to make everybody, you know, conservative Republican Americans. You know, that's not what a disciple of Jesus looks like necessarily. We're here to make disciples, people who take up their cross, lay down their lives, and follow Jesus, becoming who he created them to be, fulfilling their unique potential. That's the most exciting place you can be in life. That's the most fulfilling life that you can have, is just being that unique person that God created you to be. I love this process that the Holy Spirit's doing. And that's what it is. We're learning. It's all work of the Holy Spirit. He does the hard stuff. Also, we have the easy part. We just follow him. We just do what he asks of us. And he does the miracles. Just like Ezekiel in that valley of dry bones. God said, okay, I want you to say this. And what did Ezekiel do? Okay. Now, could have God just spoken to that valley those same words? Right? Yeah. But he gets excited, man. It's just like, you know, like Nate, you know, my son, you know, he's 14, so we're starting to do some things together. It's when, you know, like, okay, buddy, I'm going to show you how to change this brake pad. Now you go over on the other side and you do it. Could I do it myself? Yeah. Could I do it faster? Yeah. Better? Yeah. Could I save a lot of, like, you know, mistakes that are made? Absolutely. But man, that's what God the Father does for us. He lets you step into areas. He lets you step out into faith. He lets you make mistakes. And he loves it. It's exciting for him. That's why God asked Ezekiel to share that message. He could have done it himself. But he wanted Ezekiel to be able to be like a partaker in the miraculous. He wanted Ezekiel to be a co-worker with him, to see the miraculous happen. It was just as exciting for God as it was for Ezekiel, I'm sure, whenever things started shaking and rattling and then come together, right? There's always a shaking and rattling before the coming together, right? I think that's sort of the season we're at in New Hope. There's going to be a lot of shaking and rattling, and there's going to be a lot of murmuring, but that's all right. We're going to go where we're going because this army is starting to rise up, right? What happened to the Moses generation? They passed away. Why? Because they grumble and they murmured, well, I like meat and I want this. And it was so much better back in Egypt. 40 years they walked around until they all kicked the bucket. Now it's time for the Joshua generation to rise up, right? Right? This is the season that we're in, New Hope. The Joshua generation is rising up. The army is coming together. Naysayers, oh well. You can go naysay somewhere else. I'm fine with that. It's time for a rising. It's time for us to step into what God is calling us to do. Not what we want, but what God is calling us to do, and it's going to be good. Always so much better than what we could ever do and accomplish on our own. So, we're going to be looking this morning at becoming, right, who we were created to be. Because God sees us that way. Yeah, he sees your rust and your dents, and he sees all the missing pieces, but he also sees your potential. And that's what he's calling you into. That's what he's creating you to be, this process of reclamation. And if you want to turn ahead of me, we're going to stay just in a few verses, Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, and I don't often preach this way, but it's just what God was doing and how he was moving, and so we're going to do it. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. Three of the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all are sure to include this event that took place in the life of Jesus. They all record this incident, and I believe there's so much we can take from this, so much that we can take away and apply to our own lives of what happened. And we start in verse 46, and this is Jesus and his disciples. They're walking around. They're doing ministry together. They're living life together. Don't you love about Jesus? It wasn't just all about church. They were faithful to go every Sabbath on the Saturdays into the synagogues, you know. But the rest of the time, they were out there just living life together, you know. Sitting around the campfire in the evenings, you know, cooking some, I don't know, just, you get this picture. So, at this time, they're walking through, and they reach Jericho. You guys all remember Jericho, right? Right, they're marching around the wall. Talk about the historic, like, evidence that was there. It's amazing. Well, God's about to do something else at the wall of Jericho. And so they reach Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples begin to leave the town, you ever feel that way? You feel like you're supposed to give a word to somebody or something, and then they stand up and they start walking out, and you're like, oh, okay, never mind. I missed my opportunity. This is as they are walking out of the town. You can ask Becky. I think I shared whenever we were on vacation that encounter that happened. We were finished with our laundry, put everything away. I put it in reverse. I start backing out, and I'm like, okay, God, I can't ignore it anymore, right? So as they're leaving town, this happened. It's never too late in the kingdom of God. There are Kairos moments. They're here and now, and that's the only chance you get. But if you see that person stand up and start walking out, chase them down to their car, please. Don't miss the opportunity, okay? You don't want to miss it. So this is what's happening. So they're leaving the town, and a large crowd began to follow him, as they often did in towns. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. Pretty simple, right? Why was he sitting by the road? That's what he did. He was blind. He was a beggar. That was his life. And now, the truth is, we don't know a whole lot about Bartimaeus. But his name actually reveals quite a bit. Quite a bit that you don't really catch on the surface. Whether in the Bible or even, you know, outside the Bible, some of the historic accounts, we know nothing about this guy's history. But his name, I believe, tells us everything we need to know about this man. That's why it's recorded. In Hebrew and in most Eastern cultures, a name was not just a name. And most of us probably realize that. Your name, it was more like our American Indians, you know. Like when I used to work at Diamond, we served, you know, many of these different prisons that were in these locations. And you should see some of these Indian names. Like, I know it's a HIPAA violation. One was Runs Too Close to Lodge. That was the guy's name. And I can imagine as a toddler, he's like, ah, you know. Runs Too Close to Lodge. That's that kid's name, yeah. But in Eastern cultures, that's what it was. The name meant something. It signified your identity, who you were, and what you were going to accomplish, right? That's the way that they named their children. It had a significance. It was not just, you know, John, because your dad's name is John, and his dad's name is John, and, you know, there was a significance to it. Remember when John named the guy that went before Jesus, John the Baptist, when they named him John, they're like, you can't name him John. Zacchaeus, that's right, that was his dad's name. You can't name him John, like, that's not right. But that was what God had called him. There's a significance to that. It defined who a person was and what they're going to accomplish. For example, God renamed Abram to Abraham, right? We're aware of that. God intentionally renamed him. He renamed him from exalted father, Abram, to father of multitudes, Abraham, right? And that signified the prophetic calling in his life. You're not just going to be a great father. You're going to be the father of nations. It came with a promise. God intentionally renamed him for that reason. Bartimaeus' name, it was of Chaldean origin. That's another sermon for another time, but look into the Chaldeans. They're not a good group of people, right? The Babylonians were of a Chaldean culture. So he didn't have very good roots. The first, his name was actually formed, from two different names. It's like a compound name, right? Like dog, house in the English language. You take two words and you put them together and you got a whole new concept, a whole new idea. It's formed from these two Hebrew words. Bar, meaning son, and Timaeus, meaning Timaeus. If you didn't pick that up, his name is defined in most of your translations of the Bible. His name meant son of Timaeus. Talk about an exciting life purpose, right? You were born from this guy. That's all you are to me. Some of you may have had fathers like that. Like, you're just a mistake. You're just a screw-up. You're my kid, but I'm not even proud of it. Like, they didn't give him... He didn't have a life purpose. He didn't have a name. He didn't have an identity. He was just this guy's kid, and that's where it was left. And that is incredibly significant. That's why the Gospels recorded his name. And in most of your translations, it actually defined what his name meant. Son of Timaeus. So he's never really given a name, never really given an identity, never really given a purpose. And so I believe that for this reason, I believe it's reasonable to believe that he was blind from birth. That once they figured out he was blind, like, that was it. He doesn't even get the name Runs Too Close to Lodge. He's just my kid, you know. Now, what is the Hebrew meaning of the name Timaeus? Well, highly prized. That's a pretty cool name. I'll take that, right? Right? This is a well-known guy who obviously has a calling and a destiny. You know, and although it's never really given to us, like I said, in the scripture, outside of the scripture, I believe this is significant because it's recorded in 75% of the Gospels, three of four, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all recorded this account. And they all recorded his name. And I believe there's such significance to that. His dad was somebody. His name meant highly prized. Like, I don't know if he was just like David and just had some pretty good looks and was tough and, you know, had some skills or, but whatever the reason is, his dad's name meant highly prized. His name, he's just the kid. He's just the kid. No real purpose or identity of his own. And so much can be inferred by this. His father is a highly prized individual, and Bartimaeus is nothing more than really a blind beggar. That was who he was, and that's how everybody knew him. He sat there by the gates, and everybody just passed by him day in and day out. To many, as we're going to learn, he was pretty much an annoyance. He was that annoying guy that, you know, whenever you see somebody in aisle four at Walmart, and you go to aisle nine, right? Because you're like, hurry, hurry, hurry up, kids, come on, right? Now, personally, we don't do that, but I grew up in a family that we did it every now and then. Like, oh no, they're here. Like, we need to go. That's kind of what Bartimaeus was. That guy that you don't want to run into, the guy you're embarrassed by, you know, you're hoping you'd miss him, you know, whenever you come in and out of the town of Jericho. Is that guy that you just kind of passed through. Now, unlike the culture that we live in, the culture that Bartimaeus lived in did not look very highly upon those with disabilities, especially blindness. If you were blind, you were considered to be cursed by God. And so you were treated like that. There weren't special programs or social services or anything like that. That was it. You were cursed and we're going to treat you like it. You're the scum of the earth. You know, you're lucky that you even exist. And that's the way they were treated. Very, very unkindly. And his only way to survive, to literally stay alive, was to beg. That's the only choice that he had. It was their only way of supporting themselves, their only hope for survival in life. Now, personally, I'm grateful that we live in a country that does value life. I know we still have some room to grow, you know, especially with abortion and these issues. We still have some room to grow. But overall, we value life. Overall, we give people every opportunity to become something and to do something with their lives. We've got so many organizations out there, and a lot of them are Christian-based, that serve those needs of those people, that place honor on lives that still a lot of people dishonor and disvalue. You know, and we live in a culture that provides people opportunity. But maybe you can relate a little bit this morning to how Bartimaeus felt. I mean, after all, who are you? Who are you? Maybe you feel like you can never measure up, you know, to your dad's shoes. Maybe you feel like you're just an outcast and people are just, they avoid you and they're embarrassed by you. To some, you might be a nobody. You might be a little more than just a screw-up. That's who you are. You might not measure up to much in the eyes of others. You know, maybe they're always saying, I wish you were more like this, or I wish you were more like that, you know. I wish you were more like your sister, your brother, and, you know, that kind of thing. In fact, you may even just annoy them. You may be the black sheep of the family, and they're just embarrassed to be around you. They don't acknowledge that they know you by any means. Maybe you're better known for your problems than for who you truly are. Maybe you've been defined by the issues that you have in life. That's okay. That's okay. Because Jesus absolutely sees something far greater in each and every life. You are more than just your mistakes. You are more than what other people say that you are. Because despite Bartimaeus' disability, he had one very keen ability that most blind people have. He could hear. And you can only imagine the words that he heard other people speak. And the Bible tells us not to bite and to devour each other, that you destroy each other. Man, the church is bad for that, nipping on people. Little snide remarks, just joking. But man, can we find something better to joke about, something that's actually funny and not something that tears people apart and makes them look bad, right? We're so bad at this. You can only imagine the words that he heard other people say about him and how deeply you know those words go into your heart, even when they're just said in jest, even when, you know, people say they didn't mean that or say they didn't, you know what, damage is already done. The damage is already done. And so we go on to verse 47. It said, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I think it's interesting here, and I'm sorry, we're going to read little snippets at a time, that the son of Timaeus called out, not Jesus, not Jesus Christ, not Christ Jesus, not Jesus of Nazareth, not Son of God, not Son of Man, not Master, not Lord, not Teacher. He didn't call out in any of those other ways that people commonly referred to Jesus. He called out Son of David. There was a relation that Bartimaeus made here, a relationship. He's son of Timaeus, he's son of David. The son of David held such unbelievable significance. This was the name that was used for whoever the long-awaited Messiah would be. The one that would come to save the people from all their troubles and woes. The Savior coming in the line of King David. When he says son of David, that's who he's referring to. Not David, who was Jesus' granddaddy, right? David, Joseph, Jesus. He's talking about David, the king of Israel, the ancient David, because it was prophesied that this Savior would come in the lineage of David, and his throne would reign forever and ever. And so what you see happening here is a son, nobody, just a son of somebody, was crying out to the most significant somebody who will ever exist. He was attributing that title to Jesus. The son of Timaeus, a nobody, was crying out to the most significant somebody, son of David, who would ever exist in the face of the earth. Now, how the people respond to this, as you can guess. Be quiet, they yelled. He's done going it again. He's getting annoying again. Just shut him up, please. Like, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Who are you? Who are you to speak up and even cry out to Jesus? Just shut up already. That's how people treated him. So you can see it's not a stretch of an assumption that this was his life, day in and day out. A nobody who is marginalized in society, that everybody was embarrassed by. They didn't want Jesus to even know he was there. They tried to get him to shut up so that he wouldn't catch the attention of Jesus. Now, like Bartimaeus, maybe you've yelled only to hear shut up from other people, right? About your hopes and your dreams. Like, man, I'd love to just do this. And people just snuff them out, just smolder them out. Maybe you've cried out for help just to be put down even further. Everyone knew the reputation of Jesus. They knew his ability. They knew his willingness to heal everybody. He had healed blind people many times. Why did this crowd not grab Bartimaeus by the hand and be like, come on, buddy, it's time. He can heal you. Why did they instead say, shut up. Just be quiet. I'm tired of hearing you. Why? I don't know the answer to that. People are just evil. These were people following Jesus. Some of these people were probably even his disciples. Why do we do that as Christians? Why do we try to shut people up instead of leading them to Jesus just because they annoy us or whatever the case might be? Like Bartimaeus, though, if you may be able to relate to him and where he's at, if people had tried to shut you up before, people put you down, people gave you 10 reasons why you can't, when all you want to do is just to do it, right? Anybody ever been there before? Man, in nonprofit organizations, I hear it all the time. Let's do this. You hear all the murmuring, nope, can't do it because of this, this, and this. What about that? What about that? Like, let's just do it. Let's actually accomplish something. Let's fulfill our vision and mission. Let's just get something done, right? Who cares how impossible it is? Have you met my God? I mean, he is like the impossible is possible to him. The improbable is just a reality to him. I mean, we serve a God who, there's no problem bigger than he is. So let's stop giving them that power and authority, right? Let's just do what God's calling us to do. Like Bartimaeus, it's time for us to be like that, to stop just sitting by the sidelines, letting people tell you who you are, letting people tell you what you can accomplish. It's time to stop letting people define who you are. It's time to stop letting people remind you of your past, and you need to start getting up on your own two feet and defining who you are, right? Yeah, that's who I used to be. That's not who I am today. That's not who I'm going to be. It's time to stand on your own two feet, take responsibility for your life, and start to shout out to Jesus all the louder, right? That song, Sing a Hallelujah, right? You know, just shout louder than your enemies. Drown out the voices of the doubters and start shouting what Jesus is going to do in and through your life and start standing on that alone. Because that's exactly what Bartimaeus did. He started shouting louder. The louder the crowd said, be quiet, the louder Bartimaeus said, Jesus! He started crying out louder and louder, Son of David, have mercy on me! Now, he may have been blind, and his abilities, however, in this case, far outweighed his disabilities. Hearing is what made Bartimaeus aware of Jesus, of who he was, of the things that he was doing. Because you see, he didn't just hear the negativity about himself when he was sitting there by the gate of Jericho. He also heard the murmuring about Jesus. This man is going around and he's driving out demons and he's healing the lepers and those that have like crippled up hand, you know, just boom, it's healed. He heard about Jesus' ability to heal the blind. He heard all about him and he came to one conclusion only from his ability of hearing. This was the Son of David. This was the Messiah. This is the one I've been waiting for. This is the one that can do something in my life. This is one who can transform me into somebody that I'm not. This is him. This is my one shot. This is my one chance. Hearing is how he heard about Jesus and what he was able to do. Hearing is what gave Bartimaeus all the faith that he needed to be convinced about Jesus and to fully believe in him. He fully believed in Jesus before he ever met the man face to face. Fully convinced about who he was. It was hearing that enabled him to know that Jesus was literally passing by right there nearby. Hearing is what also caught the attention of Jesus as well. In verse 49 it says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, tell him to come here. You see, yes, you have weaknesses in your life. Yes, you have issues. Yes, you may even have a disability by man's standards. Bartimaeus did. He was blind. Don't let your disabilities stop you from reaching your full potential in Christ. Moses had a speech impediment. He couldn't speak very well. Stop letting your disabilities hold you back from your full potential in Christ. He knows your disabilities and he doesn't care about them. His ability far outweighs any disability you may have. It far outweighs it. He can do great things through your life. You think about, I forget his last name, but I remember we went to Acquire the Fire back in the 90s, and you had this, his guy, his name was Nick. You've probably seen him before. He has no arms or legs. He has his little chicken wing of a leg. You ever see any videos about him? Check him out, you know? You know, think about it. What does he say? His one saying, I'll never forget it, although I'm forgetting it right now. But, It ends up being God is abled. Like, you know, your disability, what is it? It's two words, but when you put them together, all of a sudden it's God is abled. But anyways, like, we so often, like, he's saving thousands and thousands of people every day. He far outweighs anything that you and I are doing, and we don't have the disabilities he has. We hold ourselves back because we give ourselves excuses. When you stand before Jesus, no excuse is going to ever give you the, oh, it's okay, I understand from Jesus. Jesus is going to say, no, this is who I called you to be, and you hold yourself back because of all these lame excuses, right? Stop it! I'm so tired of hearing excuses, it's not even funny. Excuses from my own children, right, Meg? Excuses, too tired. Excuses from the church, I can't do kids ministry. Man, I put in my time, I'm done. I'm done with that. What? This is the next generation. God commanded the older generation to teach the younger generation. Don't you dare give any excuse because the Word of God commands that you do it. You can give an excuse to me and I'll be like, okay, I understand. But I'm telling you, before Jesus, man, I feel bad for some of the people and some of the lame excuses that they give. Anyways, that's your walk with Christ. I'm walking mine. You know, I'll do whatever it takes. You guys know my story and, you know, where we've been, all the things that we've sacrificed and given up. We don't care. We don't even count the cost because Jesus has called us to do it. And he's our rewarder and he's our sustainer and he's our provider and he's doing it. You know, hearing, man, I only got 4 hours of sleep. Like, you got sleep? Yeah. You know, anyways, yeah, that's me. All right, sorry. I'm just saying, what did Paul say? Follow my example as I follow Christ. Like, how many excuses do you hear from me whenever you call and ask for help? Occasionally, I give one, right? 90% of the time, I'm there. No matter what I got to sacrifice or give up. Ask my wife, right? We've had some discussions about the sacrifices that I make in our family, you know? But man, you know what? But she understands too, and we come around pretty quickly. If Jesus is calling us to do it, then we're going to do it. Doesn't matter what the cost. And he's been faithful over and over and over again. Just trust God. If he's calling you to do it, stop giving excuses, you know, and just do it. Trust me. It's totally worth it. Totally worth it. All right, so back to Bartimaeus. Again, Bartimaeus could have given himself excuses. Well, if Jesus wants to heal me, he'll come. You ever do that? There's a prophet, and you're like, okay, well, if he wants to give me a word, he'll come. If God wants me to hear something, you know, he'll come over. You know, or we have a time at the altar for healing, and well, if God wants me to be healed, then pastor will call me out and call me up. What? Have you ever read the gospel accounts? Who are the people that got healed? The people that went running to Jesus and said, Jesus, heal me. The woman that reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, okay? Be like a dog with a bone when it comes to the promises of God. Stop excusing why you don't have every promise and start getting hungry for them and start sacrificing for them and start chasing after them. Why do you not have? Because you don't ask. Why do you not have? Because when you ask for selfish reasons. It's about you and not about others. Bartimaeus, he couldn't be shut up. He didn't sit by the sidelines and wait for Jesus to come. And had he not cried out, Jesus would have passed by. Bartimaeus would have remained blind. And Bartimaeus could have been like, well, guess that's just God's will for my life. Right? Stop doing that. That's agreeing with the voice of a liar. Agreeing with the voice of the enemy. Agreeing with the devil and keeping yourself bound by him. It's time to start getting free. Right? It's time to step up and, as Becky mentioned this morning, to get activated. And that's what Bartimaeus did. And so hearing taught Bartimaeus about Jesus. Hearing led Jesus to Bartimaeus. Hearing is what led Jesus to say to the man, come here. Come here. Wow. There's so much to this. Okay, put yourself in this literal situation. You're walking out of the town. There's this gate in the wall. Tons of people all around you, crowds. You see this guy on the other side of the crowd sitting there, crying out. You know he's blind. Would you say, hey, come here? Most of us, when you see a blind person, if they need help, you go to them, you take them by the hand, you're like, okay, hi, I'm Steve, and okay, I'm just going to, okay, this is, and you talk them through. This is what we're going to do. Okay, there's a curb right in front of you, okay? We're going to step up, okay, good. Anybody ever work with, like, you know? Jesus, like, come here. Do you realize all the obstacles that were between, physical obstacles between Jesus and Bartimaeus? Jesus had a purpose in this. And it wasn't to humiliate the guys. He stumbled around trying to find his way through the crowd to where Jesus was. Because Jesus didn't say, come here, okay, come here, okay, you hear my voice? Yep, just keep following, just come here. No, he just said, come here. In a crowd of people expecting Bartimaeus, I'm sorry, it blew me away. Like, there's a purpose behind this, though. It seems so mean. In fact, it may seem a little, you know, anyways, we'll go on about that. So he cried out and told him to come here. Jesus had a purpose behind it, and this is what it was. Because what about that crowd that was telling him to be quiet? That crowd was just yelling at him to shut up. All of a sudden, they were forced to change their tone. First of all, because Jesus gave attention to him. He didn't tell him to shut up. He wanted to hear what he had to say. He gave attention to him. So the crowd all of a sudden was just quieted. And Jesus loves to work through others, as we mentioned this morning through all the words that came forth. He even uses grouchy naysayers to accomplish the miraculous, like you and I, right? I mean, I can be a grouchy naysayer sometimes. Their yells to be quiet changed to words of encouragement. Their snide remarks that wounded him all of a sudden were transitioned to bring healing. Because it says, so they called to the man, cheer up, they said. Come. He's calling you. So Bartimaeus may not even heard Jesus say, come here, over the screams of the crowd telling him to be quiet. That's why it's so important for you to get away from everything in life and to hear the voice of God, because you're not going to hear it through the voices of what everyone else is telling you to do and to be. Hear the voice of Jesus in the still and quietness when it's just you and him. So this crowd, They told him to cheer up. They said, come on, he's calling you. So Bartimaeus, he threw aside his coat, he jumped up, and he came to Jesus. I can imagine the joy there must have been in that moment. He's calling to me. He's calling me to come. Hey, guys. Good morning. Sorry, it wasn't so much excitement with Joe, and it's all right. So, verse 51, Jesus says this, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Man, I'm sorry, to have the heart of where we're heading as a church, you got to hear these things of where we're heading. So, in verse 51, Jesus asks this question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, first, I don't know, me, I grew up on sarcasm, so I kind of hear that in the voice of Jesus, you know, a little sarcastic or maybe even a bit humorous, you know, so what do you want me to do for you, you know, like, it's pretty obvious, right? But I don't think Jesus was being that way. After all the screaming and shouting, I'm sure that all the eyes were on Jesus and Bartimaeus in that moment. No one else was talking. I'm sure that it was quiet because everyone was just focusing on what was going to happen here. Wondering how Jesus was going to handle this guy that they had marginalized and figured was just a scum of the earth for so long. What was Jesus going to do? Was he going to like rebuke him, be like, you know what, you done sinned, and so you get what you deserve, right? Because that's probably what people had told him. That's kind of what the Hebrew Levitical law kind of said. I mean, he's cursed of God. Either him or his father or his father's father sinned, right? Third or fourth generation. No, Jesus didn't give attention to any of that. After everything quieted down, all eyes were on them. And if Bartimaeus had been blind from birth, as we assume, we got to remember that this moment would change everything for him. If Jesus would actually heal him so that he was no longer blind, if he was to restore Bartimaeus' sight, everything he knew would change. He would be introduced to a world that he had literally never seen before. A whole new experience. Beyond that, he would now be required to be self-sufficient. No longer depending on other people to get him where he needed to be. No longer depending on the compassion and generosity of the few that would provide for his needs. Now he would have to be self-sufficient on his own. And those who heard my testimony last week about the guy I offered to pray for at KFC, right, who said he didn't want to lose his disability. I mean, a lot of people like rolled their eyes, like, seriously, like, come on, what's wrong with you? I'll tell you what, until you're in that situation, you wouldn't laugh or scoff at it. That is huge. This is all that Bartimaeus knew. This is how he made a living. It's like calling me from writing software to being a carpenter. I'm like, you know what you're getting yourself into? Like, I don't think it's a good idea, you know? It's changing everything for him. It would force him to provide for himself. And, you know, it may be easy to scoff at that, but it's a very serious matter and a very serious consideration that a man like Bartimaeus had to make. He didn't know how to do anything. He, in the Hebrew culture, like, you know, you grow up as an apprentice in your daddy's shop, and that's what you become. That's why Jesus was a carpenter, like his dad Joseph, right? Bartimaeus didn't have that. Who knows if his dad even kept in touch with him after, you know, he became an adult. What's he going to do? What's he going to be? What opportunities is he going to have to become? They don't have, you know, the social services like we do that'll give you job placement and job training. They didn't have any of that stuff. So Bartimaeus, if he was healed, he would then have a choice, though. So you have the negative side of it, but you have the positive side of it. All of a sudden, Bartimaeus could choose a life for himself that he never had the opportunity to do before. All of a sudden, Bartimaeus could choose to be a man who had a purpose and a destiny, an identity that he never could have had otherwise. Like, there's this exciting part of that fear. No longer do you simply have to be someone's blind son. He could be so much more. In fact, I believe that Jesus saw the full potential that he was created for. That's why he offered this question. What do you want me to do for you? Are you sure about this? Do you really want me to heal you? Because if you haven't noticed, what did Jesus do after that moment happened? He moved on. Jesus wasn't going to stay there with Bartimaeus and help train and equip him for a new life. He was going to release healing and move on. So he asked Bartimaeus this honest, sincere question, I believe. What do you want me to do for you? So now he had a choice. He got to dream again. He had the opportunity to start living brand new. And that's the opportunity Jesus offers to all of us blind people, right? All of us spiritually blind people, you have the opportunity to start life new. You have the opportunity to become somebody you never could have been on your own. Are you sure that you want this? Are you sure you desire this? Because it's not going to be easy. There's going to be challenges. Remember, Jesus talked to the thousands following him, and he said, you're going to have to take up your cross. You're going to get persecuted. Are you sure you want to follow me? You've got to count the cost first. And it's sort of this question that is being posed to Bartimaeus. It was the most compassionate and loving question that I think Jesus could have posed to him. Are you sure about this? What do you really want me to do for you? And I'm sure that Bartimaeus spent a whole lot of time in life considering this question. What would it be like to be able to see again? What would I do with my life? What would I become? I'm sure he thought about this very, 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 very often. Now, many of us might be able to relate to him this morning, because it's so easy to shape your identity around your problems, and that's just who you are. And a lot of us, we just come around to accept it. Why be miserable and fight it in life anymore? That's who I am. I'm just the town drunk. You know, I'm just, that's just who I am. Or you know what? That's just the way I am. I offend people and I'm mean and nasty and you just got to take it or leave it. That's just the way I am, right? A lot of us have just, you know what? I'm just going to embrace my issues and my problems. I'm not going to try to fight them anymore. And you're going to shortcut yourself from ever reaching your full potential in Christ when you do that. But some of us don't have much of a choice in the matter, because you can't control what people are going to do and what people are going to think and what people are going to say. If they've already labeled you that, it's so much more easy in life just to fall into that label than it is to be so much more. Jesus is calling us to be so much more. He's giving Bartimaeus this opportunity to become so much more, you know? But although it may be something negative in our lives, there's even something in your life that can be crippling and disabling. Things like Bartimaeus, he's just that blind man. Even if it's something like that, it can be so easy just to accept it. It's something familiar. Maybe it's even something a little comforting to you, right? It has simply defined who you are. Jesus had a similar encounter. We're not going to turn there for time's sake. But if you recall, he went into the town of Garcinias. And when he got there, there was a man like Bartimaeus that nobody wanted anything to do with. They were embarrassed by him. He was a black eye in the community of this town. In fact, the people of the town despised him so much that they tried to bind him up. But no chains or shackles were ever strong enough to bind this man. They could not keep him down in a bad way, like they wanted to, and they just couldn't. He spent his time wandering around the tombs, and he would just cut himself with stones, right? And it's such a common habit in the world today, turning to cutting. We know where it comes from this encounter, right? It's not good. When Jesus asked this man what his name was, his problem answered instead. Remember? His name was Legion, because I am many. His demons spoke on his behalf. They had become his identity. And some of us can relate to that. Who you are is just what your problem is. It speaks on your behalf. It defines who you are. It gives you an identity. It gives you a purpose. His problems defined him. And everyone else knew him by that alone. That's who he is. That weird, creepy guy that we can't bind up that just goes around cutting himself and screaming day and night through the tombs. However, when Jesus saw this man, he saw way beyond his problems. He saw the man that he literally created, the man that he knit together in his mother's womb. He saw what life had done to him. He saw how he got so bound by all those demons. And he didn't go through a counseling session or a blame session of, well, if you wouldn't have done this in your life, you wouldn't be there. He didn't talk about, this happens to Jesus over and over and over again. He doesn't care how you got where you're at. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're like, well, why is he this way? I don't care so I can be glorified. Be healed, right? Jesus doesn't give any credit to your history and to your past. He doesn't care how you got where you got, and he knows it fully. All he cares about is taking you from where you're at now to who he created you to be. That's all he ever cared about. He didn't care how this man got bound up by many demons. He didn't care that his name was Legion. Jesus saw the man beyond the demons, and he drove those demons out. That man was described as sitting there totally sane after that encounter with Jesus. And you know how the town responded? They drove Jesus out. Scared them to death. They didn't want anything to do with that man. Right? Wow. But how many of us can relate to that? Our problems define who we are. It's the same with Bartimaeus. But Jesus saw Bartimaeus beyond his blindness. And Jesus sees you beyond your past, beyond your hurt, beyond your shame. Jesus sees your full potential. And that's all he cares about. Your past, forgivable. The slate of all your many sins, wiped away. Today's a new day. Today's a new start. You don't have to allow yourself to be defined and identified by your problems anymore. You don't have to be defined by what everyone else says about you. It's time to reach a new identity. And that's where Bartimaeus was at. He was at that deciding matter. And in all honesty, when Jesus posed the question, what do you want me to do for you? I don't think he hesitated at all. I don't think there was a moment of doubt. He said, my rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly, the man could see. And what did he choose to do? He chose to follow Jesus down the path. Wow, it's that simple. Isn't life that simple? Just saying yes to Jesus? And there's nothing too hard for him. He can take care of all of that. He can redefine your life, repurpose your life. In that moment, Bartimaeus wanted to do one thing. And I honestly believe that Bartimaeus made this decision long before Jesus was standing there physically in front of him. He had made the decision, I want to follow this man. I want to do for others what this man can do for me. And so when that moment came and Bartimaeus was healed, he just got up and he started following Jesus. He followed him. So this morning, the question that is being posed to each of us is, who are you? Really, who are you? Who do you think you are? And see, we hear that in a demeaning tone. But Jesus is asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Who do you want to be? Do you really want to just continue being that person you've always been? Do you really want to be that person that the whole town says you are? Or do you want to be so much more? Do you want to be who I see? Do you want to be this person that I created you to be? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. People are still going to talk. The gossip's still going to happen. And guess what? You're still going to screw up and become that person that you used to be from time to time. But let's start this adventure. Let's start this journey. Let's start, you know, just slowly. Let's start making that decision better. You know, one time a day you say no and you stick with it. That's a success. Rejoice in it, you know? That one time you go to turn to the ball and you're like, you know what? No, I'm not doing it. Heaven's rejoicing with you. Rejoicing. They don't care about the five other times you already screwed up that morning, right? You did it. You walked in the strength that God gave you and you gained a victory. Who cares what everyone else says? Jesus is proud of you. You did it. And every day, it gets exciting then. You see, if you listen to the voices of the crowd, you're going to shut up and Jesus is going to walk past you. But if you cry out to Jesus and your focus is on him alone, the crowd gets drowned out. And who cares what they say and who cares what they think? Jesus is my identity. Jesus holds my life in his hands. He holds my purpose. He's the only one that I want to please. He's the only one that I want to hear job well done. He's the only one that I care about in this moment. And even when you do screw up, he reaches out to you and he's like, all right, you know, just like Peter in the boat when he started to sink. All right, get back up. Let's do this again. Right? That's where righteousness is found. The righteous man is not the person that lives life right every time. The righteous person is the one that falls down seven times and they get right back up. That's where righteousness is found. Righteousness is found in keeping your eyes fixed on Christ and every day committing to follow him, no matter the cost. And every time you screw up and you fall down and you get hurt, you just brush yourself off, you get up and you keep going. That's where righteousness is found. That's where a life of holiness is developed, being set apart for him. So who are you? Is your life defined by your problems, your past, what other people say? Or like Bartimaeus, will you choose to shut up the crowd and to listen to Jesus? To focus on his voice and his calling for your life? Will you allow the crowds to shut you up, or will you instead shout out all the louder to Jesus? Like that song, Raise a Hallelujah. When your problems rise up, when the doctor gives that word, that's where that song came from, by the way. You have to listen to the story. A little boy was going to, you know, wasn't looking good for him in the hospital, was probably going to pass away, and this word came forth to raise a hallelujah, louder than the voice of the enemy, louder than all the unbelief, louder than everything else. That's what God is calling you to do. Raise that hallelujah. That hallelujah, just praise the Lord. Just shout out your praises to Jesus all the more. And then, the next thing you know, you get your victory. You walk in triumph over everything that rose up against you otherwise. It's there in that place of surrender and of worship that you find your victory. You find your new identity and your new calling, and it doesn't matter anymore. Even the mistakes that you made before you walked through those doors, they don't matter anymore because I'm a new person. This is a new day. This is a new chance. This is a new opportunity. Every day. Today can be the day when you leave your past behind you. You ignore what other people say, and you allow the voice of Jesus to drown out the shouts of the crowd, telling you to shut up, telling you that you can't do it, telling you, well, that's nice that happened for them, but it's not going to happen for you. You got to get serious about this, right? You need to do what the doctor said. You need to do this, this, that, and the other thing. Drown it all out. Do what Jesus is calling you to do. Be who Jesus calls you to be. Today's a day that you can reach your full potential in Him. Like Bartimaeus, choose today to follow Jesus wherever He may lead you, wherever He takes you. And so I just want that to be an anthem this morning. We're going to end with that song again, Raise a Hallelujah. And I want you to personally apply that. Think about what those voices of other people are saying. Think about what the voice of the enemy keeps telling you. Think about your past mistakes, but you're not staying there. You're going to speak to those things the way that Ezekiel spoke to the Valley of Dry Bones. And today, a new life is rising up. Today, a new life is being defined. You're receiving a new purpose, a new identity. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. You're going to raise a hallelujah. Because your victory is right here. Your victory is right here. You are a victor through Christ. I just want you, whatever you need to do. You know us here at New Hope. It's very, very non-traditional, very free. You worship however the Lord is leading you to worship. If you want to run around this place and just shake off the dust of all those things that people said, you do it. If you want to be on your face before God here at the altars, you do it. If you just want to sit there and just soak in the presence of God, you do it. But this morning, I just want you in your souls, in your spirits, to raise a hallelujah, to shake off the past, to leave it in the past, and to be intentional about a new day following Jesus, a new day when He defines who you are, when He defines what you're going to do in this life. Today is the beginning of a beautiful new day for you.